and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and as it feels we often do, we are going to start this episode with news about Beyoncé, sort of. But I feel like Beyoncé has most definitely been mentioned the most on this show, followed not too far behind by Cardi B, and yet this is really the Social Media News Podcast, not the music podcast. I swear it is. But so anyways, Beyoncé and her husband Jay-Z are currently on their On the Run 2 tour, and they had a show in Paris. And just as an aside, I feel Paris should possibly feel really thankful to the Carters for like tourism money. They shot the video in the Louvre and that increased people going to the Louvre. They have a show in Paris. And so it's just like, yeah, the Carters really seem to kind of like you. And likewise, you get money from all the people coming to see them. So it all works out really well. But one of the people who came to see them at the show in Paris was Michelle Obama. And she was actually photographed next to Beyoncé's mother, Tina. And people just lost their minds, as again, tends to happen with almost anything Beyoncé related. I do believe that they have at least met each other, know each other, that it wasn't like, oh, they just happened to be standing next to each other, that she was actually at the show there with Tina. It was mentioned that possibly one or both of her daughters was also there, but I either didn't see them or didn't notice them in the photo, because a lot of the photos, there was a more wide shot one where you could see the two of them, and also that, you know, several guys who must be her security, because they're just standing with their arms crossed and looking out, you know, not at the show where Michelle and Tina are looking, but more so at people around them of like, don't even try and come over here. So they're probably security. But then there were a lot that just completely zoomed in on like, it's Michelle Obama and Beyoncé's mom. It's Michelle Obama and Beyoncé's mom. What do we do with the freak out? There were a lot of people talking about this just was a great week for France because they won the World Cup, which we have mentioned several times on the show, and that I didn't know when it was happening. I do now know it is over. France has won. Congratulations, France, for winning the World Cup. And also everything going on with Beyoncé. France is doing pretty all right now. But anyways, of course, people were just like, this is amazing. We do know that, you know, the Obamas have met Beyoncé before many, many times. She sang at President Obama's second inauguration, both inaugurations. I swear I do know things, even though it doesn't often sound like I do. She was at one or both of the inaugurations singing, and that they've been sort of friendly and close. And now that Michelle Obama is no longer the first lady and is allowed to, you know, go a bit more about her everyday life, she can sort of relax a bit and have a bit more fun, and decided Beyoncé and Jay-Z concert it is. All right. So she looked like she was having fun. It was noted that she, you know, had been dancing around at times, because can you not at a Beyoncé concert? I do not know if that's possible to just sit at a Beyoncé concert and not dance around. I would certainly have a hard time doing that. But anyways, moving on. Another really awesome lady had some news going on, in that it has been announced that Shuri from the Marvel's Black Panther will be getting her own comic book series. Now, I'm not a big comic book fan, and so when the Marvel movies first started, I didn't really know any of them except for the Hulk, maybe, and wasn't too interested at first, and then saw them and liked some of them, and liked some of them not as much, but I've never really hated any of them. Quite liked the Black Panther movie, which you could hear on, I believe, if not my first, definitely one of my first episodes of the GSMC movie podcast. Really like Shuri. Really like the fact that Shuri is only 16, but basically in charge of all the science in Wakanda, and was also pretty kick-ass herself in that battle. I'm actually really excited for this, for her to have her own comic book series, if only because so many people on social media were looking at this and suspecting that Shuri having her own comic book series essentially meant that we might get a Shuri solo movie relatively soon. And I am actually kind of down for that. I think Shuri was great. I think Shuri's a great role model for young girls because she's intelligent, but she's also tough. She, you know, she's not sitting around waiting to be rescued, even though the actress who plays her is a bit small. She certainly doesn't look fragile, but she's certainly the smallest person of the main characters who was out there fighting. And it was like, you know what? Nope, she is holding her own. She is just fine. So it's very interesting to see how this will play out. And if this does mean that, you know, they're looking to make a Shuri movie soon, or if, as some people are suspecting, Shuri might become the new Black Panther. We don't know. It's always very hard to tell what Marvel's thinking. The writer for this comic book series, also very interesting, because it will be written by, and I apologize because I'm most likely going to butcher this, Nnedi Okorafor. I did not recognize the name at first, but she is the author of the Benti trilogy, and I had heard of that. It's sort of Afrofuturist, which is its own very interesting genre that I want to check out. So that sounds like they've hired a really good writer for this particular genre of comic books for the character of Shuri. That sounds like it might go really well. Whether this will then transfer into a movie, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But people were surprised. Not so much even that Shuri may be getting her own movie, is getting her own comic book series, but more so at the fact that this wasn't essentially already there or in the works back when the movie actually came out. That Marvel sort of seemed to have dropped the ball and didn't realize perhaps how much audiences would love Shuri, how much audiences would look up to her as well. Didn't realize she'd be such a popular character. So they kind of missed out on an opportunity to really have a lot of different tie-ins available for her. So they maybe are now trying to make up for that, or it's just, let's have everyone have their own story, because that also kind of feels sometimes like what we're doing. So anyways, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Before we get into our next story, it had just suddenly hit me that even though this is the Social Media News Podcast, we have surprisingly not talked too much about the Kardashian-Jenner family, even though it feels like they are constantly in social media news. I'm not sure how that happened. Maybe it's now we have so many social media things to talk about that the Kardashian-Jenners aren't as all-encompassing of social media as they were, or they're just, you know, they're getting on with their lives because most, if not all, of the sisters have kids now and have been married or going to be married or at least in a long-term relationship. So there are other things to go on with their lives besides, you know, whatever with social media. But anyways, speaking of them and their families, Kylie Jenner inadvertently started up a bit of a media storm when she posted a video of her with her daughter. This was just supposed to be a really sweet little thing. Her daughter Stormy is now 5 months old. She posted a video of herself playing with the baby on Snapchat. This was clearly just supposed to be for the fans to see how, you know, how big my baby's gotten, etc. But people noticed in the video that Stormy's ears were pierced. And given the fact that Stormy's only 5 months old, this set some people off. That this became a huge debate on social media over whether or not it's okay for people to pierce their children's ears. And if so, at what age? But more so just, should this be something the children decide for themselves? Or since the parent is the one caring for them and they're obviously not of an age to make that decision at that time. And it does seem for a lot of people easier to have the baby have their ears pierced as a baby when they, I don't know. The argument was that babies will get over it quicker and not be able to play with it or mess around with it as much as a slightly older child would. And therefore it's less of a hassle to have it done as a baby. But then other people then responded, you know, this is a permanent thing you're doing to your baby's body. Shouldn't that be something they decide for themselves? Parenting. I like to avoid topics of parenting, A, because I don't have kids. So I really don't know anything whatsoever from experience. My sister is only a year and a half younger than me. So I was not like helping raise her as a child. If I had tried to tell her what to do because I was older, she just would have rolled her eyes and ignored me. So there was no like, I've got experience dealing with children. I know what, you know, what you need to do for them. There is none of that whatsoever. But this one, parenting, especially for mothers, telling, you know, someone they're a bad mother, a good mother, what is that? Always, always a media storm, and people have very strong opinions about it. Kylie Jenner obviously felt this was fine. This does sometimes seem to fall along, I'll go with cultural lines, in that some cultures, they like the female babies to look female. And that includes having their ears pierced, and that if the baby doesn't have their ears pierced, they don't look like a girl. You can't tell the difference. I'm not quite sure. But then we've gotten to a point now where, not necessarily for babies, but just as they're older, for guys in general, can also totally have ears pierced. So, I mean, I still haven't seen too many baby boys with ears pierced, but it's not like, oh, earrings is a girl's thing. No, not so much anymore. I myself had my ears pierced when I was 3 months old or so. That was a decision my mother made. And I didn't really think too much about it growing up. I certainly wasn't upset at her. My main holes are slightly uneven, which is one of the complaints that people made about doing when their babies is harder for them to stay still, so your holes might not be even. But you can't really tell from mine unless I'm wearing certain types of dangling earrings where the like if they're not on hooks, if they're on studs but then happen to have things that dangle, you can kind of tell because depending on where the connection for the stud is, one of them will actually move and the other won't because that hole is a little higher and so it still sits on my ears. It frustrates me, but it just means I can't wear certain earrings and I can wear others. But then I got a second set of holes done when I was 10 or 11. but my birthday is in April, and at the time I was playing softball. And in softball, you're not supposed to wear earrings, period, because if you like get hit in the head while you're batting, or even if you're not batting, there was this fear that, you know, the earring could sort of poke into your head and puncture it. And I mean, not like a sword puncturing it, but still, that would definitely hurt and possibly be very dangerous. But it used to be when I played that you could put band-aids over the backs of the earrings if you didn't want to take them out. But they would not let me do that when I got my ears pierced because it was the piercing earring. And so it had the sharp point as opposed to the somewhat rounded point. And I tried to like, I took it out for games and then put it back in, but it hurt way too much. And I was just like, nope, can't do it. So I just left them out for the rest of softball season. And then at the end, tried to put them back in and was able to get one back in, but could not get the other end. My hole had seemed to close up. And so I now have 3 holes in my ears, 2 on one side and 1 on the other. But you know what? I'm fine with that too, because it works really well for if I or certain members of my family have like lost a pair of earrings, particularly for studs. It's like, cool, I'll take it. I've got a random hole that could just have a random one of a pair stud. That works super well. Thanks for that. So I'm torn on the one hand about this, because again, had my ears pierced as a baby, no memory of it whatsoever. My ears were just always pierced all my life. I knew I probably wasn't born with pierced ears, but couldn't have told you how that happened. Otherwise, when I did it, when I was 10 or 11, my head felt like it was on fire. And it was just like, why didn't you give me 2 holes as a baby? I don't know why you'd ever give a baby 2 holes, because you don't know that they'd want 2 holes when they grow up. There was, and this was the comment that so many people made on social media, either that they themselves had had their holes pierced when they were older and were upset with their parents for not doing it as a baby, or they had waited till their children are older to let them get pierced, and then both they and their child agreed, yeah, you know what, this actually would have been better if you had done it when I was a baby and I couldn't remember it, because this hurts and I don't want to deal with it. And yeah, because when you're a baby, you know, you cry for numerous reasons. And yeah, like even with shots, I totally cried until I was to an age I will not tell you. Not in high school, but probably a bit older than I would have wanted to be crying for shots, certainly. But I got over it. And it was always afterwards, it was like, why did I cry so much? Until the next time I had to go back and get a shot. And then it was just like, why? This is the most evil thing ever. Keep that needle away from me. I don't like needles at all. So yeah, this was almost a ridiculous amount of debate for whether or not Kylie Jenner has the right to pierce her daughter's ears. Not even whether or not it's okay, but whether or not, you know, this is something the parent decides, because again, this is a 5-month-old baby. She's not making any decisions for herself, and the parent decides, you know, essentially everything else. Whether or not the baby even gets vaccines, whether or not the baby, you know, what the baby's wearing, whether or not the baby leaves the house in clothes or just in a diaper. The parent's making all of these decisions for the baby, some of which can have, you know, permanent results as well. So is ear piercing all that different or not? I'm not here to write a children's book. I mean, not a children's book. I'm not here to write a parenting book or a children's book. Writing and I do not agree. But I do think that the amount of people debating this back and forth repeatedly on social media was a bit over the top. Let's go on with our own lives, shall we? So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our final story today, I think is really, really interesting, is that Starbucks is going to be opening its first American signing store. So a signing store, I'd never actually heard this term before, and I'm not sure if it's just a Starbucks term or if other companies have these as well. But this is designed for customers who are partially or fully deaf or hard of hearing. And it will have employees that are fluent in ASL. And for those of you who don't know, ASL is American Sign Language. There is already a signing store in Malaysia, which was opened up in 2016. And this was found to be very successful. And so Starbucks wanted to open up one in America as well. This store will be located in Washington, D.C., near Gallaudet University, which evidently has a bit of a deaf culture hub around it. So that actually works really well for the customer base they're obviously going for. But Starbucks is also pointing out that this will provide employment opportunities for deaf and hard of hearing people, which on the one hand, I mean, it's Starbucks, and so you kind of imagine it's probably like a minimum wage job, and you're on your feet the whole time. I've worked in restaurants where I was on my feet the whole time, and I'm very glad to not have to do that anymore. But on the other hand, yes, employment for deaf and hard of hearing people. I can imagine that anyone with any sort of handicap or disability, what have you call it, and I don't mean to be disrespectful there, I'm just not fully sure of what the preferred term is. I can imagine that for any of those, it would be hard to find employment. Never mind whether or not they can do the job. There is, of course, the perception that you have this thing that makes you different, and therefore you can't without me even giving you the opportunity to do so. We're just going to assume you can't, and finding employment can therefore be very difficult. But also for the people who would be going to the store, because, and again, I am not deaf or hard of hearing, so I don't fully know what this is like, but to have to go and communicate with people who don't speak your language and you're trying to not even get food, get anything, any sort of, you know, exchange that would happen if I give you money for you give me something else. If you guys can't communicate in the same language, that would probably be really difficult. I actually took a semester of ASL at a junior college while I was in high school because there was a complicated thing of me taking college classes for high school because I couldn't get to high school. Anyways, I was taking a different class. I decided I also wanted to take ASL. As part of the ASL class, all the students were required to go out into the ASL community and interact with actual deaf or hard of hearing people. So one of the things that I did to meet that requirement was I went to a deaf church. And again, I apologize if that is not the preferred term. That was how we all thought of it. It was a church where deaf and hard of hearing people went, where they signed, but they also talked, which thankfully, thank goodness for that, because at the time I was not even of an age to have a driver's license and therefore had to have my mother drive me. Thanks, Mom. And so she went into this church because she's actually quite religious. And if they had only been signing, I maybe would have gotten like 10% of the words. She would have gotten nothing. She doesn't know how to do ASL at all, and I actually really kind of don't anymore either. All of my languages that I've studied, I didn't practice them, and so I forget them all. I remember the alphabet, and I really like the fact that for this Starbucks signing store, they have their Starbucks apron that says Starbucks, but then it also has the hand signs for those letters, and there will also be mugs decorating the store designed by a deaf or hard of hearing artist, which also has hand signs on the mugs. And I'm just like, that's actually kind of cool. But all I really remember are the letters and then like either the sign for mother and father or grandmother and grandfather. But I can't remember which one it is because they're very similar. And I clearly know one, but don't know which one I'd be saying. So I don't use it, sadly. But I think it's very interesting for this. And we hope, of course, that this means more inclusivity, not only at Starbucks, just for all people in general. There will be some employees at the store who can hear, but they will still also be fluent in ASL, and they will have not quite a name tag, like a pin or something that says I sign on it, so that, you know, deaf or hard of hearing customers will know, oh yes, even though I just totally saw this person talking to the customer in front of me, I can also communicate with this person for them to get my order. There was a thing about, you know, if you've ever been to a Starbucks and placed an order, they call out your name, and so they've had to figure out a way to go around that, which involves like a display area, since calling out the name might not work. But this does seem like, even though it's aimed at the deaf and hard of hearing community, both for employees but also for customers, it does seem that it will be possible to go there, certainly for an employee if you're fluent in ASL. But I can kind of imagine, even if you were just a random person who happened to really want to go into a Starbucks, didn't know the Starbucks was the signing store, just wanted a coffee, you could still go in and, you know, be able to place your order and not have the reverse situation, in the same way you imagine many deaf and hard of hearing people find places where they can't go in and place an order because without, you know, then getting out a pen and piece of paper or whatever and writing it down, that communication is really hard. I doubt Starbucks is trying to set up a reverse situation of, oh, now you know how you feel. That's not the idea here. It is about being inclusive of diversity and not about, what would that even be? Teaching a lesson? I don't know. That's not their point at all. They're, of course, trying to expand their brand, and they put out a press statement about this. So this sounds like a really cool thing, and good for Starbucks for, you know, even A, having the idea for a signing store. Though I do kind of wonder why the first one was in Malaysia. I just saw that it was in Kuala Lumpur, but I don't know why Starbucks started in Malaysia. They did, however, have, they call them store partners, and it's not clear, are those just regular employees? Are those like members of the corporate part of Starbucks? What does that mean? They did have store partners, whatever that means, who went to Malaysia and observed the store and were really excited about that and wanted to have one in America, and a lot of those store partners were themselves fluent in ASL. So you could see, you know, how that whole thing tied in, but it was not clear from the parts I saw why exactly it started in Malaysia. Like, it didn't sound, I mean, it does sound like a test run, but it didn't sound like Starbucks was saying, hey, we started in Malaysia as a test run just to see if this would even be possible. So who knows? But either way, very exciting news. Very excited to see how this works out. And hopefully this will be a very successful story. And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies
movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.